Okay, today's shiur, I wanted to just dedicate for Refuah Shleima for Chaya Shena Sara, Bas Chana Esther, unfortunately a camper's mother who has a brain tumor, and unfortunately it came back and she's having emergency surgery. So as she's part of our family here at Camp Masora, we should have her in mind, and our learning should be for a successful surgery in Refuah Shleima V'soch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael. I want to also dedicate the Shir L'Zecher Nishmas, my grandfather's yurtzeit is this evening, Yaakov Kapel ben Menachem Mendel HaKohen, who was a formidable figure in my own life, and was someone who taught me many different lessons, and most of all that I remember is his love for Medina Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, and he should be a Melech Yosef for all of Klal Yisrael, especially in our difficult time. We are continuing our second lesson, our second shiur in the fight for the Kotel. Is it even holy with practical ramifications of the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash? We gave three basic shitos. One we could reject forthwith, which is the shita saying that there's no holiness of the Kotel itself, it's just a wall, it was built by a madman, and forget about it. So we said that there are two possibilities, that it is the Kotel of the Azara or the Kotel of Har Habayis, of the actual mountain that encompasses where the Beis HaMikdash stood. We quoted the Shita of the Radbaz and the Chachmas Odom and the Ridbaz, who was didn't know how to paskin, but based on that idea that it was Har Habayis, and the Ridbaz says maybe we should be Choshesh. So that would mean, of course, that we wouldn't be able to walk there. Whereas we saw the Avnei Nezer and almost all other Achronim who did not understand the Shita, to be honest, and said that it is obvious, there is a 500 by 500, which is written in the Meiri, which is written in the Rambam. It's in really Maseches Midos, a first Mishnah. So how can you go ahead and say that it is not anything but the Har Habayis? It was extended, that's true, and it was definitely built by somebody who wasn't Jewish, and it has a Kedusha level, which we'll see in a moment, but to go ahead and say that it's anything but that, it's an Azara, is very, very difficult to say. In the Mikdash Melech of Rosi Pesach Frank, he opines that the what the Rabbaz was talking about clearly was not the Kotel that we know today. And therefore, maybe that's the way to answer it up. The Rabbaz maybe was talking about some other wall that in his time stood or where he was near that actually was on, he was standing on Har Habayis by the Azara. Possible. Difficult to understand. Fine. Besides, of course, for the Avnei Nezer, which we use as our central source, I quoted the Pasach Shulchan, the Moedim Azmanim, Iram Mikdash of Tubchinsky, Kaptov Aferach, the Chulu, Rav Gorin even, who all says the same thing. So now let's get to Halacha L'Maisa, and how exactly we paskined, and now that we know how we paskin, some interesting shots. So the first question I wanted to go to was just, not on your sheets, but something that was asked in our last shear, and I just wanted to, I thought it would be an interesting just discussion for a moment, and that is that Harav Shmuel Rabinowitz, who's the chief rabbi of the Kotel, if you will, and Makom Kedoshim, so he has this wonderful sefer which I don't know, called Shari Tzion, Shelos Tshuva Shari Tzion, where he goes through basically only questions that revolve around the Kotel, questions that revolve around Kever Rachel and Marisa Machpelah, about Kohanim going there and things like that. So here he has a question on the topic of something that was asked, which is, well, what is the actual Kedusha of that place we call the Kotel? We know the Kotel to be kind of a lot of different places. There is something called the Kotel Plaza, where certain times of the year becomes a place to daven. Slichos, Hoshana Rabbah, Birchos Kohanim, the big Birchos Kohanim. So is that considered to be Kedusha of the Kotel itself? This is, of course, important nafkaminas. Is it a shul or not? Furthermore, Kalos Rosh and things of that nature, even though the Old City itself has a instinct and an important Kedusha level, which is more than outside of the Old City, Furthermore, do we consider it that? And this is, in my own personal opinion, a big challenge for camps that are in Eretz Yisrael this time of year, what they should do on Tisha B'Av. There is a Minog Yisrael, if you will, that on Tisha B'Av, a beautiful, inspirational one, that people go to Hotel. And in fact, NCSY does a really amazing kumzitz there at the end of Tisha B'Av where they're singing. It's just so beautiful. We had this chus two years ago, to go. It used to be our minog that on Tisha B'Av we would go there. We stopped doing that because I realized that every time I'm driving home, it was the end of the fast day, I got very, very sick, and it was not worth the doing that. But then we went 1 year, 2 years ago was Ramadan. Felt a little bit scary just being there. Eh? But the so inspirational. But on the other hand, there are other camps that are there, and they use it as an opportunity to see Nushim from another camp. And there's a lot of talking going on Tisha B'Av in this Kotel Plaza. So the question is there any Kedusha level? So Rabinowitz asked this question, and he said that we know that the Kotel, the larger area of what we'll call the Kotel Plaza, mitpa'alim b'tzmidus yom yom, that in the non-Kotel Plaza, obviously we know they daven there all the time. And even in not times of davening, you can always almost find somebody that's there. And they're saying Tehillim, they're doing other things. And it's pasha that that's considered to be a shul. No question about that. And if you want Mar Makomas on this, look at the Tzitz Eliezer that has a tshuva on this, and Chedek Yud, Sif Aleph, the Mishnas Yosef, or of Yosef Lieberman, and Simon Lamed Dalid, the Or Letzion, or Abishal, v'chula. Ech yesh ladon al rechavat hakotel. But what about the Kotel Plaza itself? Sheshamit palim v'ofen arai. There's a temporary davening that's done there when there's a tzibur gadol shemit palim. The aim makom berachavat, there's no other place, so they have to extend it and expand it. Now, for example, he writes, on the chagim, certain types of the year. Now, if you're going to tell me that the Kotel has kedusha, so then I would ask you, what do we do about the most famous thing that takes place in the Kotel Plaza, is the army hashbaot of the soldiers. Maybe that's not allowed to be there. Maybe even a Hanukkah party that they do there, or when they did Hakel there, is it part of a shul gathering or not? One could argue that ain't gadol mizu to do a Yom HaZikaron in front of the Rechavat HaKotel, to do a tekes to show the importance of this, and even if it was an actual shul, it would be okay. So he writes that this question was asked a while back by the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, Harav Mashash, in his Sheilos Tshuvos Shemesh Umagen, Vimagen. He was the rabbi of Yerushalayim, B'Avio. He wrote this Psak Din based on also the words of Rav Zolti. B'Avio Divrei HaRambam, the Rambam, who says the following thing, Pasim Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kuf Nun Dalek. And that is as follows. Rachvat Shel Ir. Afal Bisham is found on Batanis, Ain Bomishim Kedusha Mabne. Who? Arai. Famous question, Gemara and Tanis, they used to bring out all the people to the middle of the town to make a much more of a statement of the tshuva that needed to be done. And what would happen? We would go ahead and do this in Rachavat Ir. So you say, now we have a problem. Now Main Street just became a shul. So we can't do certain things there. Says the Rambam, that's not the way that we pass. And the Shulchan Aruch says no, because it's a derech arai, ein bahem kedusha. Oh, so if this is true, so the Kotel, he's daven there sometimes. It doesn't make it into a kedusha place, right? Let's just say we don't daven mincha today. We're not going to daven at 12:45. You guys say, we got to go. And we get on the thing, and then, we find ourselves at Dougie's, and we didn't daven mincha. Baruch Hashem, we have 10 guys, so we daven mincha. Right? At Dougie's. So now Dougie's is a shul? Because we daven there once? Of course not. And that's an important halacha, by the way. What? Right. So apparently, yeah, there is a minion factory. So apparently we don't have to worry about that. So says based on this, so the Kotel of Mashash is not, doesn't have that same Kedusha level. This is also, by the way, an opposite way important. There are people who on Shabbos, let's say, for example, don't want to walk all the way to shul. So they have side minyanim at somebody's house Friday night, and maybe Shabbos mincha at this person's house, and there's a question whether or not that's a good idea. In Eretz Yisrael, there seems to be a very prevalent minhag that everybody davens on their block. Baruch Hashem, when you live in certain places, in Eretz Yisrael, almost all places, so there's a minion on your block, obviously, there's a minion of Jews, so everybody gets together and they daven by. So this is a questionable act, because it's not kedusha b'shul. We daven here all the time. It's not, that's not a shul. it's something. It has some sort of level, and that's important. They asked me about the library here. It's a library considered to be the a shula now, right? And it has nafka minas. Right. So I thought it was a beis medrash. It has svarim in it, albeit those svarim are you know not from this parsha, and they're all from Bereishis and Shmos and unicorn and all these different things. But I still think that it has a kedusha level, and that's out. I thought that they should say tachanun with nefilas apayim as well, because even though the Torah is not stored there, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva where he says that if a shul has a Torah stored in a safe which is outside, you still do nefilas apayim. So I thought it does have a kedusha level. Maybe I shouldn't have it at the kedusha level because of the other things that go on there. But okay, fine. What? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. And some of your neighbors also
right.
This might have been a specific class, but it's like some of them might not go to
good.
At all.
So it's good.
Right next door.
Right. So I agree with you. I didn't want to bring this up, but I'll bring it up anyway. We had a machlokes on our block. On our block, we have a minyan that we had kavua every single Monday Shabbat, and one of the particular members of the block was very against it. So much so that one Friday night he gave a chabura about it, and he was fire and brimstone against this. And why can't you walk to shul? You're so lazy. So one of the things I told my beloved neighbor is that you can't just give a shir. We spoke about this yesterday in Yoni Shir. Right, you can't just paskin halacha without having a heart, and you need to understand that there are some wives that you know when Shabbos is over at 8:30, having them come home 5 minutes to clean up is a nice thing. And furthermore, we have a lot of kids who come to the minyan who wouldn't normally daven b'minyan, and it's a good chinuch lesson. You could, you know, sure. Or you could say, oh, you're going for work. Come on, you're just getting around it. That's true. And in certain situations, I have sometimes when we used to have family gatherings when I lived in America. So, you know, you have a family gathering, and it was like, oh, let's daven mincha. Right? So, fine. So, we daven mincha. And then it came time for Myra. Oh. So, you had, let's say, Minag America, they want to daven at Shkia. So, one time there was a family member, he said, oh, I'm not davening now. It's usher. I have to wait till 20 minutes. And I went over to this family member, I put my arm around him, it was a man, and I said, you know, you're living in a bubble. You don't understand that if we don't daven now because we made the minyan, you're all these people, there's going to be like 8 people who aren't going to daven tonight. Forget about a minyan, they might not even daven. So let's daven now. Say Kriya Shema after. So Rav Mashash then marshals a ritva. And here, if you look at the ritva in Megillah and Chavav Amud Aleph, he has a chiddush nifla. Chachamim amra, but chachamim amra ha-rechov ain't ba kedusha. Yesh lefarish ain't ba le'inyan mechirato v'iledoimim mishum kedusha aval hu atzmo kedusha yesh ba. There is kedusha. Why is there kedusha? He says it is not kedusha like you can't sell the street like you have with the shul, but there is a kedusha level because davening was done there. And the Bir Halacha quotes this ritva. Shehu rak ba'akrai she'ein bo kedusha beitin lechol davar mikol makom yesh bo kedusha lefizeh yotzu lechor she'akol ta'al yona ein linhog ba bizayon, because it has a status of kedusha. He then finishes a very, very long tshuva. He then gets an answer. He asks the Mishnas Yosef, Rav Yosef Lieberman, about how we read paskin lahalacha. And he's not so sure that, but in any case, there is a level of kedusha that you have to the point where bizayon certainly should not be allowed in that place. Obviously, any place you're looking at the Makom HaMikdash, I would imagine it's obvious. So for today's discussion, we'll look at source number 7, Rav Avadi Yosef, who clearly says here that there's no way possible what the Avnei Nezer was talking about, just a sense of review, is in fact our Kotel Amaravi, and it has to be the Kotel of what we call the Harabayas. The Adavar Barumot, Shamrachak, Shabain Kotel Azar, the Bain Eben Shasia, in Ayla, Yoter, Al Shloshim Shmoname. So he gives us a math lesson and says it's just impossible. If you look at the first Mishnayos and Rambams, this is the way it is. But now let's get to the question that we have in hand. And he just ends off by saying his last line in Rav Avadya is L'chein tzorch lomar shelo nitkaben haradbaz al kotel hamravi hazeh she'anu rom achshav elo kotelenu shal kotel hazara. Fine. So now we have the question which you did now in your Ma'ar Makomos, and that is the Sheilas Tshuvos of the Igros Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein in Yerodea Chelek Dalet Simen Mem Samach Gimel was asked a very wacko Shaila. Hard to believe somebody would have the chutzpah to ask the Shaila. This Tshuva is 20 pages long, so I am summarizing to the best of my ability. And there he was asked a question about a person who loved the Kotel so much that he wanted to be with him his whole life. And understand that at the time that this Tshuva was written, I assume we're talking about, you know, not today where people are traveling to the Kotel every 5 minutes, Baruch Hashem, and able to go there. You know, some people didn't go once every 10 years or 20 years, or it wasn't so common. Airplane travel was not as common. So he wanted to take a piece of the Kotel so that when he's once Kavana, once his Cyrus, he looks at that piece of the Kotel and says, wow, how fortunate we are that at least we have that and we should rebuild the base of English. Well, perfect for the 3 weeks, you know, to concentrate on it. So Rav Moshe was asked this question. If you want to be more cynical, you could say, you know, you want to make a business out of it before the days of eBay and Amazon and start selling these type of this type of thing. So first he marshals, before we go into the tshuva itself, the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, that there is a tumah shenichnas yadayim shenamar b'chol kodesh lo yiga. So your chayv malchus, if you put your hand when you're tamei into the Makom HaMikdash. So if, in fact, we believe with the Radbaz and it was really the Makom of the Azara, standing there would be a problem. But furthermore, it could be that putting your hand into the Kotel, okay, and your fingers are now extended in the middle of the Kotel, you are actually now on Har HaBayis, those fingers are on Har HaBayis, and according to the Gemara in Zvachim, we might have problems of Tumah. The Rambam has a machloikas here. What fact is usher in this? Why be chayv in Malkus? The Gemara in Pesachim about Korban Pesach. A very important question: where you were standing in the Makom in Yerushalayim? Because if your head is standing on somebody's roof and it's coming out a little bit, it couldn't be on the roof. You have to be in the house together. But everybody's together, so you would have a problem because you'd be outside of Yerushalayim. So how does it apply to our case? It says Rav Moshe, but God Pasha, Shenosaf le'isur mi'ila, the isur le'ishtamshu bei hedyota, ika asur chomer delav delo to ashen olav. You're not allowed to sleep on it. You're not allowed to lean on it. Shehu lav le'notetz eben min ha'echa u'min ha'mizbeach. Yeah, it has the same din, which we never would think of mi'ila, of stealing something from the Beis HaMikdash. A person brings up he goes up to the Beis HaMikdash and he brings his iPhone and he's been so inspired, now he's done, he doesn't want an iPhone anymore, so he brings it to the Beis HaMikdash. What did the Beis HaMikdash say? What are we going to do with this? We can't use it. Oh, so they're going to sell it, and obviously to somebody who's not Jewish, and make the money and take the money and use it for Betek HaBayis. So that iPhone now retains Kedusha, right? And it's Me'ilah. So anything that you can't get hana from, anything that's there, so too obviously things that are part of the Beis HaMikdash and its outer walls. So to go ahead and think that you can take a piece of the Mikdash is problematic. That a hedyot, meaning a regular person, a non-kohen, can't be mishtamish, can't use it for mundane purposes. Even though that mundane purpose is, I'm going to use it for the coat, I'm going to use it to daven, you know, it's going to be next to my makom, I'm always going to remember the coat, you can't do that. That being said, I saw a video that has Rav Moshe David Tendler, the famed Rosh Yeshiva in YU and son-in-law of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who believes that you can walk on the Kotel, walk on Har HaBayis in certain places, and he's quite famous for going to the Kotel. And to go, sorry, Har HaBayis. So there's a video, I don't know, things have gotten much worse nowadays, but he would walk there and he asked permission. There was a tree there, and he said, can I take, it was an olive tree, can I take some of the olive branches home with me to America? So the soldiers or the army, whatever, they're like, yeah, nobody cares about that. And then he whispered, the reason why he's doing it is because there's an issur to grow trees. You're not allowed to grow trees on Har HaBayis. This is actually the way that that in the tshuva of Rav Rabinowitz, the one that we read as we started, he quotes in the name of Rav Yosef Lieberman, his tshuva that he wrote back to Rav Rabinowitz. So there could be a problem at the end of the day about having trees and plants growing even in the Kotel Plaza. Right? So very interesting, because in shuls we don't allow that. But on Har HaBayis, for sure we don't allow it. So Rabbi Tendler said, at least I feel like I'm ripping a little bit of the tree off, because they're violating the issur of having trees grow here, because the Arabs obviously don't care. They don't have that halacha in the Quran. So, and he says, and what do I do with it? He says, I burn the trees, and in the ashes, I put on the chassan's head. You know, there's a inyun by the halachas of zecher lechurban, of putting a pe'er al rosho. I remember my Rebbe, Rav Goldach. So he did that. He took a little envelope, and it has a little bit of ashes. I believe he, at least in my day, he got it from the bottom of Yeshivat HaKotel. The bottom of Yeshivat HaKotel is a beautiful museum, and that museum has it's the Kohen Gadol's house. At least in my day, it was there. Where the Kohen Gadol used to live they only found this out after. And apparently, so there, all around, a lot of the things were burnt. So he took like a little bit of the ashes from there. It says could be that it was from something from the Kohen Gadol. It's very, very interesting. So that's what he puts on the head of it. So here, that's what we're attempting. But says Rav Moshe, you can't get hana on stam something. Aval kishelokeach ezut tzarech acher. Right, How can you not see that there's something incredibly wrong? So even though we've established the Kotel as Kedusha of Har HaBayis, and the Stoma, we don't have as much of a problem as far as Kadosh, as far as a little any types of people going there, even if you're a Zar, even if you're a Nidud, still it would be a problem if you were to take something from the Kotel itself. The Tzitz Eliezer was asked in a question in Shelos Chuvah Tzitz Eliezer of Waldenberg Chelik Yud Siman Aleph. First of all, I just wanted to point out the first beautiful line. B'chaste Hashem Aleinu u'b'racham v'gadol zarchanu l'chut la'achrona ayin ba'ayin b'shuv Hashem etziyin v'chazarti la'aretz v'chal la'am kudushim. Let's first just recognize the fact for a moment. The Ribbono Shel Olam returned Yerushalayim to our hands. This is the Tzitz Eliezer writing, not known to be the biggest Zionist in the world. But as I said, in 1967, everybody recognized the great Nace. Mamish kecholom hayinu. We can only dream of the fact. You know, think about your grandparents, or certainly great-grandparents. It was a dream that they would be able to daven the Kotel one day. Hageula, hatmura, and Baruch Hashem, this is the beginning of an Or Gadol to us. So he asked the following. So he quotes what we already discussed about those that question this and how exactly it would be. So even if you say that it's not part of the Azara, but maybe you shouldn't go too close to it. And of course it's not, but it's the Kotel of the Har HaBayis. And therefore there's no question that it is. And he says, "Imutar lachnas yadayim." Now that we've established that it's not part of the Azara, but it's part of the Kedusha of Har HaBayis, can you put your fingers inside? If we remember the tshuva that we did from before of Rav Moshe, still there's a question. When you put your hand, Gemara in Zvachim, Psachim, inside, it's considered like you're there. So if my head, for example, or my hand is eating the Korban Pesach and it's outside of Yerushalayim because I'm on the wall, I am not eating the Korban Pesach. And I have a problem because I'm eating Korban Pesach outside of Yerushalayim. And what's my chiyuv? Now I'm chayuv karis. So he says, well, maybe you're not allowed to put your fingers in it. So he says that he thinks it's aser and it's a chiyuv karis. So really, halacha l'maisa, he would say that you can daven at the kotel. Again, I told you, Rav Nevitzel, others say that you can't come up to the kotel. I think the Moed Mezvan says this as well. You have to be a little bit farther away. So if this was the wall of the kotel, you could stand somewhere like over here. But says the Tzitz Eliezer, you certainly can't put your fingers in the wall, which is a very common occurrence. Because, you know, you're holding onto the kotel a little bit. So he says that's a problem. Yeah, so Mistoma, you're not getting Hana if you kiss it. But the Mincha Shlomo disagrees with this totally. He said to put your fingers in the kotel is not an Isser. Bia b'miksas is only if it's something you can actually put your hand through. For example, air, or we spoke about last time, a window, a door. But if it's a wall, so unless you're, who goes through walls? The Hulk, I don't know. You can't break that wall. And the fact that your finger is in a little bit of a crack of the wall doesn't matter, because it's not considered to be part of the actual kotel. Can you tell me a favor? It's off. Yeah. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees with this whole premise of the Tzitz Eliezer, doesn't quote the Tzitz Eliezer. And this is based on, if you want to look at sources, in the base of Bechira, Chelik Vav, I'm sorry, Perik Vav, Halacha Test, the Rambam against the Ravid over there, the tomb of the Azura, the tomb of the Karka, right? And nowadays, do we say that it's different because we're actually not on the floor? I'm sure you know this, right? When you're standing at the Kotel, so you're actually suspended in the air, if you will. Right. Because if you look down, the real kotel goes all the way down to the floor. So, based on that as well, one can say, how is it possible that, anyway, fine. That could be another step for Hakel. And finally, I just wanted to end with a beautiful, as I explained to you in the beginning, a question that was asked a number of years ago when there was falling rocks from the kotel itself. And this happened not that many years ago. And Rav Amar wanted to know, who was the chief rabbi of Israel at that time, how exactly a person we should paskin. I'm sorry, I apologize. Rav Amar in Tchumim has an article in detail when he was asked this question. But the question originally was asked by Rav Rabinowitz, and I have to say, in a beautiful way, Rav Rabinowitz did not want to paskin it himself. And he asked great rabbis what exactly should be the halacha when it comes to this. And amongst those rabbis, he asked Rav Shlomo Amar, who was the chief rabbi. He asked, as I said, I'm not sure why, Rav Menashe Klein. And he asked Rav Nevinzal, how exactly would paskin. And it's pages and pages, but I just left you here one page of this, and that's the Pesach of Rav Nevinzal. And I think, in my opinion, it's a very good summary of this inyan. Rav Nevinzal writes here in the last source, in source number 9, again in Tchumim. This was the question that was asked in 2003. There was again, pieces of the kotel were falling on people's heads. Nebuch, somebody actually got quite injured. So they needed to do some sort of sustaining of those. So who should do it? When should it be done? So Rav Amar, Rav Menashe Klein, Rav Nevinzal answered this question. Rav Rabinowitz himself, and then he had a tshuva later on it in his sefer. So Rav Nevinzal says, Kantonti, I can't believe you're asking me the question. Everybody who knows Rav Nevinzal knows that he shines his letters a lot. The Tzirim of Leviim. It's funny, Rav Menashe Klein also answers his truth as Menashe Katan used to. passed away a few years ago. So he says, "B'may b'shitali tfei l'taken hanidrosh l'sholom hatzibor mi'anidrosh l'man hayofi." First of all, there's a difference between why you're fixing it. If you're fixing it because you want to look nicer, there was a spoof that was done before Purim a few years ago that people actually believed, and they said the Knesset voted on a law to make more money to keep the Kotel beautiful. They're going to have ads on the top of the Kotel. There's going to be ads running on it in it, and people actually believed it. And there was all this horrible press saying, "What a chutzpah! The government chutui, they're disgusting, whatever." And some guy's like, "I'm sorry, it's just a joke on Yeshiva World News. You know, it's not true." But here, if you're doing it for Yofi, as you know, the lighting is beautiful, and you got to pay for that. So he says, this is the difference. This is not being done for Yofi, it's being done for Pikuach Nefesh. L'man ha-Yofi, l'man tiku, ha-Mikdash ha-Shmo, v'hu begeder ha-Torah, v'nidrash l'man bituach ha-Tzibor. That's Pikuach Nefesh. So there's no real question over here, because of course we would do it. It's Tehuya. L'chor yesh efshar l'harchik ha-Tzibor, mikirba yitir ha-Kotel. One could say, oh yeah, okay. You don't have to do work on the Kotel. You know what you can do? You can put a huge gate and say you can't go, this is where it's going to fall. Everybody has to be 20 feet away from the Kotel. So you could do that. I'll call upon him. That's going to be mafria to people, that they're going to have a problem with the vacus. They want to get closer to the Kotel. So there's a reason for it. So you might not say bitachon. And then he says, well, maybe it is bitachon as well, because the army's always going to have to get close to there. So he says it's mutter to do. So he says, number one, it's an inyan of bitachon. Even if it's not bitachon, number two, it would be mutter to do. What?
What does that mean?
Bitachon is security. Yeah. Yeah, keeping people safe, and that fact that security soldiers would have to go within 20 feet anyway. So you have to do the work so they don't get hurt. Number three, stima chore. So once you're doing the work, they want to know some of the cracks, can you fill them in? Ein boiser. Umash of number four, benogea l'smicha. What about the trees that are growing from it? Leani adaiti kedivre mar demuter. Although Rav Avad Yosef is a tshuva that says that it's aser. So he says, well, how about those that are working? They have to be Jewish. Do they have to go to the mikveh first? So he says, look at the Sefer Mishnah's Aber Yaakov, Kedumani Minaga Oilam Lahakov Azer. But he said, some people say you should, they shouldn't be a carry, they should go to the mikveh. Yeah, but yeah, very good question. There is that level that it helps, as we know on Yom Kippur, we go to the, and there is a Tahara level. It does not help, obviously, because we're all Tameh, so it doesn't help for Tumas Mace, but it does help in a way. There is a higher level. Tumas Keri, it helps, for sure. But Ogea, Letaharas Avodim, so he says you don't have to. Then he ends off and he says, in any done, but I don't want to paskin against the, whatever the Rabbanim Rishaim, you're be'enai b'shefa amiratov, you heard them carrying yourself, b'haitam, munucha, kvoid, Ketoret Sivir Halavim. And then they actually write, and hey, I just quoted it because I thought it was funny. They said, you know what? They figured out that they start the work on Keshet Fulson, the Wolfson, where now they want the mixed groups to be. So if they started on there, they think that they will be able to repair it in such a way where it won't fall from the further part, and I think that's what happened at the end. It's funny, the Moedim Azmanim has a tshuva when he talks about the Kedusha, and he says, well, you know, today we have to be even more careful because now that we have Yushalayim, meaning the Jews, have gotten control of it and we have a Jewish government. Can't believe he said that. So he says the Kedusha level is even higher. And we have to be even more careful because you know, when work's being done by non-Jews, it's not our fault. It's not our country. So at least he admits that. This, I think, is a very, very beautiful and important inyan for us to think about during the 3 weeks. The fact that we have Yushalayim be Kedusha soy, the fact that we have a Kotel to go to, but we're not there yet. And as we started off, as we'll say in the Kinos, le'olam hashchina lo zaza mikotel meravi, something to be said, there's a certain kapara there, and that we're on the appropriate and right path. But we still don't have what we want to have. And we should be very careful when we're thinking about Yerushalayim, when we're thinking about what we're missing. not to understand that there is something greater than what we have today. And the Kotel is beautiful, but it's no Har HaBayis. And the moment that we go to that Kotel and we see what is up there on Har HaBayis, the tremendous chutzpah, chil Hashem, that is there, so we know that we have to come a lot, lot closer. And maybe it's through some of our Musar Shmuzim about, you know, coming to Minyan that shows that you care about the Tzibur. Or maybe it's concentrating on the tshuva for Abbas Chinam, because they were so sinas Chinam. Whatever those levels should be, that we should be zeicha to understand the importance of this, in my opinion, inyan, that on one hand, sometimes you get spoiled. And I hear this a lot, this type of talk. We have Yerushalayim. It's there. We have the world of Historia. What else do we need? As Rav Soloveitchik beautifully writes, you know, the moment that you hear church bells in Yerushalayim, you know there's something wrong. You know Yerushalayim is not rebuilt. And there's a level of very, very difficult reality that we have to have sometimes, because we see Yerushalayim being built up and the Navi in front of our eyes rebuilding Yerushalayim, things that have never been seen. You know, I remember my brother-in-law surprised my daughter for her bat mitzvah a few years ago. And he hadn't been to Eretz Yisrael in something like 30 years. 20 something years. And when he came to Yerushalayim, to him that was the most shocking part. We took a Segway tour. And he was just, what is this? There was no Mamilla, obviously, when he went. There was no World of Astoria. And there was no David Citadel. And he's looking at all these places and the beautiful City Hall and all this. And I said to him, I said, this is what the Navi's talking about. This is the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. You know, when people, I wonder, when people read the Navi, and it speaks about Zekein and Zekeinos, Rechobot Yerushalayim, they're going to be laughing and seeing kids playing. They must have read it. That's a strange, how's that ever going to happen? And you're living through the fact that, you know, if you ever go to the Old City, if you know in the back part over there where Moriah is, so they have that pasuk and they have little benches there. And when I go there, I always think to myself, we're living through this, Rabbi Yisrael. But with that comes a submission to understanding, but we're not there yet. We don't have the base of English. We have a kotel. There's a kedusha level. There's shilas about bia b'mikdash and all that, but we're not there yet. And that's what we should be concentrating on during this time. How we get to that point where mitzvah Hashem, we could be zeicha to continue going up, and then we'll have real shilas about what we have to wear there, about going to the mikvah and all these things. And mitzvah Hashem, all these shilas should come up mamish this year. So Tisha turns into one of the most amazing yontifs for Klal Yisrael.